as you would have heard over the weekend, yet more shocking news from the United States and more seemingly crazy statements from the President of the United States, Donald Trump, who has said most recently that Denmark has not been able to do anything to get the Russian threat away from Greenland. Now it's time and it will be done. NATO has been telling Denmark for 20 years that you have to get the Russian threat away from Greenland. Unfortunately, Denmark has been unable to do anything about it, he wrote in a post on his social media platform Truth Social. Mr. Trump has repeatedly insisted he will settle for nothing less than ownership of the Greenland territory, which is an autonomous territory of Denmark. Leaders of both Denmark and Greenland have insisted the island is not for sale and does not want to be part of the United States. And on Saturday, of course, this all came after President Trump vowed to implement a wave of increasing tariffs on European allies until the United States is allowed to buy Greenland, a 10% tariff at the start of February, on 8 European nations that have sent troops to Greenland. He vowed to increase this rate to 25% by the start of June unless a deal in Greenland on Greenland is struck. And of course, this raises fears of a retaliatory trade war and reneges completely on the deal he did with the European Union earlier on last year. And last night, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen spoke to the NATO Secretary General, as well as leaders of France, Germany, Italy and the UK, as transatlantic relations continue to sink to their lowest post-war level. There's an emergency meeting being talked about as well today. And almost, and I hesitate when I say this because this is Donald Trump you're talking about, almost the most ridiculous thing to come out of this is a report this morning on what President Donald Trump told Norway's Prime Minister in a message published today. He told Norway's Prime Minister he no longer needed to think purely of peace because he didn't win the Nobel Peace Prize. Considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for having stopped 8 wars plus, I no longer feel an obligation to think purely of peace, Mr. Trump said in a message to the Norwegian Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre. He said, although peace would still be predominant, he could now think about what's good and proper for the United States of America. And this is after he was given the Nobel Peace Prize secondhand by the Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, who appeared in Oslo last month to collect her prize. With me on the line to talk about all of this, madness. Well, in a moment I'll get to that. Just wanted to mention as well, that we will be talking to Deputy Michael Cahill about being put off the road for 2 years for speeding. That happened on Friday. We'll talk to him a little bit later on in this hour. But to the matter at hand, I've got Professor Emeritus Bridget Laffin of the European Institute with me on the line. Professor of International Relations at UCD School of Politics and International Relations, and Jean Monnet, Professor at European Foreign Security and Defence Policy and Associate Professor of International Relations as well. Just give me 1 second. We have another comment coming in here in relation, I'll get to that later on. Sorry, I want to get to Bridget Laffin first, though. Bridget, apologies for the delay in coming to you. Emeritus Professor at the Robert Schuman Center, I should say, at the European University Institute in Florence. Bridget, look, can you put any sort of sense on what's going on, first of all? It's a very confusing, but ultimately a very alarming picture of what's happening now.
So firstly, we shouldn't look for sense because there is no sense. Donald Trump has turned Americans' allies into adversaries. He is threatening to take by force, if necessary, part of NATO territory, which is still part of the Kingdom of Denmark. So if he does that, the consequences, we cannot overemphasize the consequences. It's the end of NATO. It is a rupture in transatlantic relations that will be extremely serious. And the countries that will benefit from this are Russia and China. So he's risking the entire post-war American foreign policy and stability. And he shouldn't forget that Europe remains rich, big markets, allies who will stand by the US. They stood by the US in Afghanistan when the Americans initiated Article 5. So that this is happening takes us into another planet. It takes us into something that we have not experienced in Europe since the end of the Second World War. So it's that serious. And unfortunately, it's also very serious for Ireland because Ireland remains one of the most trade dependent on the US. And of course, we have the benefit of the direct investment in Ireland, but also the markets. So there is nothing that I can say that, that can put a gloss on this. It's, there's no gloss. Now, the big question is, what do you do when faced with someone who is that erratic, who has said, he said, psychologically, I need to own this? Well, firstly, the President of the United States can't go around owning other people's territory. That's the sort of thing we expect from Putin. So how should the Europeans react? Well, firstly, this is more serious in a succession of very serious issues. They need to calm things. There's no point in behaving as Trump does, throw the baby, you know, the baby out of the pram. They need to use Davos this week to try to de-escalate, if at all possible. It may not be possible. And then they need to be prepared for if he does follow through on the 1st of February with the tariffs, they must this time retaliate. Last summer they negotiated. I think that was the right thing at the time. But now you cannot, it's for the sake not just of Europe, but to be honest, for the sake of the United States. This cannot stand.
Can I ask you, you said they need to use Davos. What do you say to the idea that negotiations, it's too late, they're gone. They tried that tack. They did a bad deal pro-America in order to calm him down and make sure that the certainty was there and stability was there and the post-war order, war orders made. And this is how he rewards them. So the idea of appeasement, do you not have to just go full belt, fight fire with fire and keep so doing first, that until he realizes his mistakes?
Firstly, I agree with you. Appeasement is not possible this time. What I mean by de-escalation is to try to prevent, the, in other words, to believe what he's saying, but to concentrate on the action that he will take. And if you can talk him out of the February tariffs, that is a good thing. Also, I think Greenland breaches something within the United States itself, because there already are signs that the Republican Party is beginning to really worry. So if you can actually activate opposition to him within the Republican Party, because it has to be the Republican Party, because they're his backers, then it's worth trying. So absolutely no appeasement. And the European Council will meet on Thursday. They will draw plans and they can't appease. So, but we're still not at the 1st of February. So it's always better, because the other thing we have to know about a trade war is trade wars hurt everybody. It will hurt Europe too. The other area where I think Europe needs to think carefully about is that Europe holds an awful lot of American debt, about $8 billion or $8 trillion? I can't remember, but it's an awful lot of their debt. And if Europe starts to release that into the markets, that actually increases the cost of borrowing for the United States. Europe would again have to be careful with that, because you don't want to bring the international financial system down. But you're absolutely right in your in what you're saying at the core is that this has to be stopped by fair means or foul.
And what do you make of what Micheál Martin has said, urging caution? Is he and are we in that sticky wicket in the middle, hugely exposed and at the mercy of bigger powers here?
So I don't think we're at the mercy of bigger powers. I think we're simply at the mercy of our enormous vulnerability to the US. Firstly, the foreign direct investment and the jobs. Secondly, the exports. And thirdly, all of the ancillary jobs that are created by those companies in Ireland. And they're the most one of the most productive parts of the economy. So the core vulnerability is there, regardless of what happens. And we also need to begin to diversify and de-risk. And interestingly, that makes our decision on Mercosur really unstrategic. Because if Irish MEPs vote against Mercosur, as most many of them are saying, what they are doing is, at a time of maximum vulnerability for Ireland, they're saying no to the biggest markets, to alternative markets, to hedging, yeah, to diversifying. So we've also got to, small states have to be smart. We don't have the battalions, we don't have power, we've influence, and we've to use whatever influence we have in a really careful way. But I would really want to emphasize, both for us, but also for Europe, just how serious this is, because if you have a rupture with the US in trade and a rupture in security, then Europe will have to respond in ways that will be very demanding for everyone. But the alternative is going down the tube in style. So there's no point in doing that. So regardless, Europe has got to now face up to the fact that, in my view, the structures of NATO survive, but the intent of NATO does not. And so there's nothing good I could say about where the world is at the moment.
Yeah. Is that so the only hope, that the Republicans will, to use the phrase, grow a spine, as they haven't done several times when it comes to Donald Trump? Are things now finally serious enough for them to do something internally in the United States about Donald Trump's administration? Well, because up to now, he's bypassed them on every major decision. He's broken every law. He's broken every precedent, every protocol. His action into Venezuela, did he even tell the Gang of Eight about that? Nobody knows. It's just all, he's ruling by fiat at the moment, and they're allowing him to rule by fiat.
So I think the Republicans have to grow a spine. I think the Europeans have to toughen up and grow a spine. But also we have to think about, and if you're an American and a patriot today, then you have to think about the consequences of this man for your own country internally. We had that awful ICE situation in Minneapolis, where they're terrorizing their own people.
Yeah, they're walking down the streets. The head of ICE is walking down the street wearing a World War II Nazi-style overcoat, ordering people off the streets, surrounded by masked, militarized men. It's almost like, World War II cosplay. And that's being allowed to happen in America.
It's like the black and tans terrorize the people. And I think, an American patriot, whether they're Democrat or Republican, has now got to think, what is the future of our country? But also to remember that the countries that are benefiting from this are firstly the Chinese, and by a country mile, and then the Russians. So do you want to destroy American power in the world? Because if you treat your allies as enemies and you treat your enemies as allies, he's better to Russia at the moment than he is to the Danes. Well, if that's the way you want to rule the world, there's no good end to it. So we have to hope, because the United States, by and large, albeit with some questionable foreign policy, has been a source of relative stability in the world. Does it now become the major source of instability in the world, where you have an unfettered president, as you said, who rules by fiat? And that will, 250 years after the establishment of the United States, the first modern democracy in the world, a home, a place that an awful lot of Irish people found succor, home and prosperity. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing for the world if that country turned into an ungovernable country where you have to have ICE agents on the street because of, is there a potential for civil unrest and all of this? So this is a world that I didn't think I would see in my lifetime.
Yeah. Is there any element of it, Bridget? Look, speaking politically, and it's more of a political question, I guess, than an economic one. Is there any element of this to do with timelines and next November's midterms that, Donald Trump knows the end is nigh? His approval ratings have dropped again over the weekend, over the ICE situation, but also his support base are not happy. Even they are not happy with what he's doing internationally, that he knows come after November and the midterms that the Republicans may be out of power. both in the Senate and the Congress, and that's why he's gone so crazy at the start of the year.
It could well be, but also there are very dangerous people around him. Stephen Miller, the deputy White House coordinator, is really dangerous, and I would say I don't use that word lightly.
So yeah.
He's being influenced by dangerous people who have their own agendas. And so the question is, how much of this is Trump? I mean, he's so erratic. We also have to worry about, you know, how he is in the world and all of that. So the midterms matter. One has to hope that the Republicans lose the midterms so that there's the rebuilding of some buffer. Because without buffers, he appears to be able to do what he likes.
Yeah, and that's the worrying thing. As to what happened. So a time for cool heads, Bridget, but strong response as well from Europe.
Exactly. And before I go, can I just congratulate the good people of Dingle, the Gaeltacht and Ballymac. They gave us all great pleasure over the last 2 weekends.
They did. In fairness, they did. Brilliant stuff, Bridget. Great stuff. And thanks for talking to us about that on the programme this morning. As you said, no real good news over what's happened. That is Bridget Laffin from Cara Savine, of course, originally, who was talking to us about Donald Trump. She's the Emeritus Professor at the Robert Schuman Centre, European University Institute in Florence.